morning. Good morning and welcome to Worship with Trinity. My name is Aaron Rousseau. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so good to be with you all this morning. Wanted to make just a couple of announcements before we begin our worship service this morning. This summer, we've been doing a month of missions where we have been participating in a ministry effort to bring items to support different ministries. And today, we are bringing items to help create hygiene kits to provide to the United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, which is kind of like our connectional brand of the Red Cross. And so we're supporting UMCOR today, and you can do that by bringing the items and placing them in the bins or by making a monetary donation at any of the wooden boxes or mission boxes that you see as you leave the worship service today. And then we'll also be joining together on the other side of this partition at the conclusion of our 11 o'clock service for lunch. And today's lunch is spaghetti with meatballs. So we hope to see you at lunch today. Next week's month of missions, the benefit will be for the Florida United Methodist Children's Home, and we'll be bringing school supplies. So please participate in that. You know, this summer we've been looking at the book of Ephesians and in a message series called Together for the Sake of the World. And here at Trinity, we have a tradition that we begin each worship service with, and I'd like to begin with that now. I hope everyone who comes through our doors comes to feel this way about our church, but I say to you, welcome home. And now I invite you to stand and reach out to someone you don't know and say, it is good to be together with you today.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
God, as the cardinal welcomes the sun to brighten the day, as the earth welcomes the rains to nourish the fields, so may we welcome you this morning. May our worship be our invitation for you to come and brighten our hearts and nourish our souls. Amen. Will you join me in affirming our faith this morning through the words that you see on the screen? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the
As we pray together this morning as a community of faith, I invite you to remember the persons whose names you see on the screen. There are others that I'm sure you come with as burdens on your own heart, and perhaps celebrations that you want to lift up to the Lord as well today. I also would want you to know, if you do not already, about the passing this past week on Wednesday afternoon of Bob Garrity, long time faithful member and disciple here at Trinity. The family will be holding a memorial service for Bob on August 25th. We'll remind you about that again, but you can go ahead and mark that down as the day when we will remember Bob's life with a celebration here in worship. And then at 9:40 today, we will be commissioning our summer ASP youth mission team that will be traveling, leaving this Saturday for Tennessee, and so I encourage your prayers for them as they go to be in ministry with persons in the Appalachian Mountains. Let us pray together. God, we praise you for being the loving, benevolent, kind, and generous God that you are, for the many blessings that you pour into our lives. We lift our hearts in gratitude. For those in our community who are in need this morning, we pray that you would bring comfort and aid, peace, and reassurance. For those who are traveling, we pray for travel mercies. For those who will be on mission in the days ahead, we ask for encounters that will reveal Christ's presence in their midst, that they will both give and receive the blessing of Christ's peace. For all of us, we pray your continued guidance in each of our individual daily walks and in our communal life together. Bind us together in our work and in our words and
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
At the next service this morning, we will be welcoming a young woman by the name of Erica Penley into the membership of Trinity. Erica has specifically requested that this could happen before she leaves us. Erica has been around Trinity for a while. Some of you probably know her. She's been serving in our children's ministry area as an intern. And through that opportunity, Erica has discerned a sense of calling into ministry with children as her long-term vocational path. So Erica will be leaving this next week to travel over to Daytona and attend Bethune-Cookman University, where she will be majoring in religion with a concentration in Christian ministry. All that to say that you, Trinity, have played a significant role through being her church family and through resources that allow us to hire interns that invite them into exploring this kind of a calling. So thank you. Thank you for your influence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your generosity in making things like this possible. Would you join me in prayer this morning over our gifts that we bring today? Good and gracious God, we ask that you would take what we offer today and use it in ways that benefit your kingdom, that can shape lives for your purposes through the ministries of Trinity. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Russ and Aaron for that gift of music and for partnering together to offer it to lead us in worship today. Reminds me, as they partnered together, I was thinking about how we, in our daily lives, partner to be in ministry with God. Now, for the last few weeks, we've been looking at the letter to the Ephesians, and today is where the rubber really meets the road with regard to specifics. In the first three chapters, we had the foundation laid for us, explaining to us that God loves us and chooses us and wants the dividing walls between us all to come down. And then remember, the part of chapter 3 is actually the hinge and the prayer of the author for the church. And then last week, Steve began to lead us into more of the practical aspects of the letter as we talked about unity and the desire of God for the church to have unity. And now, finally, we get to more of the detailed stuff toward the end of chapter 4. Today, we learn what God's concrete plan for us looks like. We get a snapshot of Christian living as it is intended to be, and how we are called to live in our cities and towns, in our workplaces and neighborhoods, in our everyday walking around lives. Now, immediately before this that I'm going to start reading today, in verses 22 through 24, we are told to put away our former self, to shed our old self, and to put on our new self. It says to be created, put on the new self, created according to the likeness of God. And then, verse 25 begins, so then. Now that again is to get our attention. In other words, now, let me tell you what that new life actually looks like. So I invite you to follow along with me as we read from beginning with chapter 25 of the fourth verse and continuing on into chapter 5. So then, put away all falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads this morning and pray for me as I share this message with you, and I'll pray for you that God will speak to you this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. know, as parents, we are aware that our children watch everything we do. And so we are careful about what we do in front of our children, what we say and how we say it, because they are like little sponges, and they will imitate us. Well, one day, years ago, that point was driven home to Steve and me. We were at the dinner table, and our daughter Shelby was a toddler at the time, and the three of us were sitting down to dinner. Now, we also had two dogs who were a part of our family, one of whom was quite the rascal. He would reach up and grab things off of the kitchen counter or off of the dinner table in just a moment and could swallow a sandwich whole. He also would share Shelby's toys with her, and he could demolish a stuffed animal in seconds flat. His name was Wilson. So this night we're sitting at the dinner table. Well, and when Wilson would do things like that, Steve and I would frequently say, "Bad dog. Bad dog, Wilson. Bad dog." So this night we're sitting at the dinner table, and Shelby is drinking out of a grown-up cup, a big girl cup for the first time, instead of her little sippy cup. And, of course, she has an accident, and she spills the milk, and it goes all over the table and through the crack in the table and down onto the floor on the front edge. And Shelby immediately begins getting upset, and she whimpers, "Bad dog! Bad dog, Shelby! Bad dog!" She was upset, and we were laughing hysterically, and we had to quickly reassure her, "No, honey, it's okay. It's just an accident." And we only say "bad dog" to the dogs, not to anybody else, just to the dogs. Our scripture reading this morning says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." You're God's beloved children, and we are called, implored, begged to be imitators of God. Just as Steve said last week, the word "therefore" at the end of this passage means, listen up, this is something very important, and this is the crux of the message. Therefore, be imitators of God. And in this section, the author gives us some specific guidelines as to what that looks like and how we are to do that. These are the characteristics of Christian living. Now, just a reminder, these are guidelines, and they are not rules to check off or merit badges to be earned, but rather the marks of a Christian, the way of being for those who are baptized, for those who have new life in Christ. So first of all, our scripture says, don't lie, but let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. The author is calling us to speak openly and honestly with others. The question is, what kind of truth is he speaking about here? We get clued into that as we look at the reason for speaking the truth. It says, speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. We are connected to one another. So what is the truth we are called to speak? I think the author is telling us to speak in ways that lead us toward expressing our care and concern for our neighbors, and to speak the truth about ourselves, and to speak the truth about God, who loves us and redeems us. There's an example of that kind of truth-telling, or at least a part of that kind of truth-telling, right here in our own community. You may be aware that Newberry will be the first town in Alachua County to engage in truth-telling about their history of racial injustice and the lynchings that took place there in 1912. You can go and read more about it, but the Newberry City Council, or Commission, met this past week to begin that truth and reconciliation process, to document the lynchings and to publicly acknowledge in local institutions what happened and to begin to move toward healing. Yep. That kind of truth-telling is what it's called for. That's where the rubber meets the road. Speak the truth to our neighbors because we are members of one another. And just a word of caution. Too often we use this and other calls for truth-telling as justification to preach at someone or to make sure that they understand what we know to be the truth. Making oneself the judge and jury cannot masquerade as preaching the truth. Only God has that role. We would do best to speak the truth about ourselves and about the love of God in Christ, about who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. The next thing, the second thing that the author advises is be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, note, this doesn't say don't be angry. As Christians, there are things that should anger us. Remember, Jesus got mad when the Pharisees told him that he could not heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus yelled and overturned the tables outside of the temple when he saw that the religious leaders were victimizing and taking advantage of people. It's not that we should not get angry, but we do need to choose wisely what we get angry about. Car pulling out in front of us in traffic should not cause our tempers to flare. On the other hand, we should be passionate and even angry about issues of healing and justice and care for those who are the very least among us. And when we do get angry, we are instructed not to sin and not to let the sun go down on our anger. Uncontrolled anger that is buried and allowed to fester is destructive for both the person and for others. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, it offers wise advice and says, anger resides in the lap of the fool. The key may be in that word, reside. Anger is designed to be a visitor, not a resident in our hearts. The third characteristic of Christian living says, thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands. Now, this one might be a little more difficult for most of us to readily identify with because we don't identify with being a thief. But in the first century, pilfering was a common part of everyday life, and therefore it needed to be stated to the Christians that that should not be a part of who they are. Perhaps today we should think in terms about stealing in terms of being willing to compromise our principles in order to advance ourselves, when instead we should work earnestly and honestly to make a living. And take note of why we should do this. It says work honestly and earnestly, not as an end in itself, but for the purpose of being able to share our resources and be generous with those in need, so that we can be generous for an eternal purpose. John Wesley's advice of earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can rings very true here. The fourth characteristic is do not speak evil, or it can be translated, do not talk rotten. That's the literal translation. Don't talk rotten. But only what will build up so that your words may give grace. I just love that. So that your words may give grace. So that your word us may be a blessing to others. How much of what we say would be eliminated if our words, the only words that we spoke, were ones that would give grace? You know, there are so many words that are spewed each day that are full of vitriol and bullying and hatred and meanness. We see it on social media. We hear it in the news. We read it in the letters to the editor. What if we went back to that advice that we were given as a child? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. My grandmother used to say, "Bite your tongue, young lady." What would happen if every time we spoke, we thought, if I don't have anything nice to say, then I'm just not going to say anything at all? The author pleads with us. Put away all bitterness and wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice. And why? Because when we do those things, when we don't tell the truth, when our anger is out of proportion with the cause of our anger, or when we hold on to that anger and let it fester and give a foothold to the devil, when we don't work earnestly and honestly in order to be able to share resources and care for those in need, when what comes out of our mouth is rotten, just plain rotten, it grieves the Holy Spirit. We are God's beloved children, and nothing will change that. But just like when our own children act in ways that we know is not who they really are, it grieves our spirit. So when we do these things, it grieves the Spirit of God. We are God's beloved children. And the final call is for us to be imitators of God. The author says, as beloved children, be imitators of God and live in love. That word literally translated means walking around. It's from the Greek word peripateo. And in our walking around lives, love, as we are walking around in our everyday lives. Now, I know that's easier said than done. When Steve and I were first appointed to the church to do a new church start in Bradenton, we decided at that point, with one child and a dog and a child on the way, that we would buy a larger vehicle. And so we decided to buy an SUV so that it could also be for this new church start, the church bus and the vehicle to haul the sound equipment, and we had a trailer hitch on the back so that we could take the trailer to the gym on Sunday mornings to unload. We also decided that it would be a great idea to use this large vehicle, this Ford Expedition, as a moving billboard. And so we had signs made for the side of the truck that had the church name of this new church start on the side. And it became very clear to me that there were a lot of lessons to be learned from driving around a large vehicle with signs on the side of it which advertise that you are a part of a church. In my everyday driving around life, I had some lessons to learn. So I quickly realized that if I was in this vehicle, then I had better be the most patient and kind and generous driver on the road. I not only could not do anything against regulations so that I wouldn't be stopped by a vehicle with flashing lights and have the signs on the side of the road, but I also could not honk angrily, even if someone pulled right out in front of me. And if I was stopped in traffic and traffic needed to merge in, not only did I have to let the first car in, but I often let the second and the third car in, because that was how I needed to to live and to be if I was representing the church. You know, driving around in that vehicle with my identity posted for all to see made me think about how I was representing the church. And it also made me think about how I represent Christ in my everyday walking around life. What if every day I had a sign on my forehead that said, Christian, or I am baptized? Would I represent Christ well to all I met in all that I was doing? What about you? If you had a sign on your forehead that said, I am baptized, how would you represent Christ to others? You know, as Christians, we have been baptized in Christ. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have been branded, if you will. That means that we are more than a knockoff. We are the real deal. We are beloved children of God. And that means Christ dwells in us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we had better look like Christ dwells in us. So I implore you to be kind, to be tenderhearted, to forgive one another as God has forgiven you, because you are the real deal, the property of Christ, and brand loyalty is a very important thing for Christ and for the sake of the world. Gracious God, many of us here are followers of Christ. We have been branded through our baptism, and we belong to you. As your beloved children, help us to be imitators of you. Be kind, to be tenderhearted, to forgive others. In all that we do, in big and small ways, in our everyday walking around lives, may we reveal our brand of loyalty.
Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him and earnestly repent of their sin. And we can come to this table from our everyday, ordinary walking around lives. We might be what's happened in those lives, challenged by what's happened in those lives, maybe even angry. But it's difficult to come to this table and leave angry, because we come to this table to receive the grace that God wants to give to us. And when we receive that grace, ingest that grace, it's what empowers us to go into the world and be grace, to go into the world and imitate the love that has given us this grace. And so we remember that night when Jesus sat at a table with his disciples and he took bread and he gave thanks to his Father in heaven, and he broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Again, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, offered the cup to his friends, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of Holy Spirit at work in your church, we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping us serve communion this morning to please come and make the stations ready. And as they come, I mean, just say a word about this table. In the United Methodist Church, the communion table is an open table. Everyone is welcome to receive. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or of any church. You simply come at the invitation of God's Spirit to receive the grace that God has for you this morning. We serve communion by way of intinction, which means that you will tear off a piece of bread, place it into your open hand, and then you're invited to dip that bread into the cup to receive both elements. Together. If gluten-free is a need that you have, we have it on the outer stations here. Just let us know when you come forward to receive. We ask that you begin with the front row, working our way back, exiting the row to the left, and returning to the right. But all is come. All are invited. All are welcome. Please come for all of you. Thank you.
Merciful God, we thank you for gathering us together around your table of grace. And we pray, having been nourished by your love and by your grace, that we might rise from this table more together than when we came in, so that we might go for the sake of the world and be instruments of your love, your peace, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you leave this place, may you know and remember that you are marked. You are branded for God through your baptism and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So may you go bearing well that sign that says, I am baptized on your forehead. And may you go and know that even when it's overwhelming, the love of with you, and the grace of Jesus Christ has been washed over you, and the power of the Holy Spirit is for you.